And you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving, and I'm in love with Amy Goodman, and I'm going to get her on the phone and ask her to marry me. I think we can get married in New York. Anyway, this is, we're just rejoining this show in progress. We have today, our guest is Richard Wolff. His book, Capitalism Hits the Fan, we're making that available for a $60 minimum pledge for our fantastic winter membership party. But here we're going to be talking about Obama economic policy, change or more of the same. Richard, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for waiting while we had that exciting explosion of joy with Amy Goodman there for the past half hour. We had an extended discussion basically around what's going on in the Middle East, Egypt, Yemen, I believe, Tunisia, and I think Jordan also a couple of days ago.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, Lebanon, Albania, there's quite a shake-up of old sclerotic governments in that area.
Domino effect, as they used to say. Now, Richard, your book that we are offering to people who want to become members of KBOO is Capitalism Hits the Fan. But you've written and spent a lot of time researching many aspects of colonialism, not just United States economy. And I would describe you as an expert in alternative economic theories, dare we use the M word, Marxism. So I thought that today, given the discussion that we just had for the past half hour that was about, you know, what's going on in Egypt, what's going on the ground in the Middle East, I'm curious, you know, Obama economic policy change or more of the same. How do you think on the colonial level the United States has some kind of impact over what's going on in the Middle East? Does the United States have any impact or cause and effect on that?
Oh, I'm sure that nobody who has ever looked at this would have any hesitation in telling you that the United States has more than an impact. The United States is a major player in that part of the world and has been now for half a century. You know, with World War II basically exhausted the old colonial powers that were active in that part of the world, above all Britain and France, who were literally wiped out by the war. They were heavily bombed, both countries, particularly France. They lost huge numbers of people. They went into an enormous debt, mostly to the United States, to fight the war. And when the war was over, they could no longer maintain their colonial empires. And it was then only a question of how and how quickly they would withdraw. And all of them did eventually, one way or another. And the only global power that could in any way come in there to sustain many of these countries who needed all kinds of help as the old colonial powers withdrew their support was the United States. And so in country after country, in Iraq, in Iran, in Egypt, in North Africa, Algeria, either the United States by itself or sometimes the United States in some partnership. For example, France withdrew from everywhere but held on in Algeria. So there the United States didn't come in so quickly. But in a short order, the United States became a financial supporter, the provider of military equipment and training, intelligence. I mean, really, there is no way that the United States can escape being held accountable, as, for example, these days millions of Egyptians do, for being a partner with the government that's now in trouble, and therefore the United States is scurrying very intensely to try to figure out how to hold on to the influence it has at a time when a long-time ally is going down in flames.
And that's Egypt.
That's right. Egypt is a key player in that part of the world. That's why the attention is focused there.
Mm. And our guest, Richard Wolff, his book, Capitalism Hits the Fan, The Global Economic Meltdown and What to Do About It. Now, Richard, I guess it was a week ago now, last week, we had the Obama's State of the Union address, and he didn't even really talk about unemployment, the 99ers, 20, 30 million people unemployed, underemployed, not even looking for a job anymore. He didn't even talk about that, did he?
No, I must say, as a Obama supporter myself, I was really, to be polite about it, deeply disappointed. I thought that there were at least three key issues as I sat there watching his speech that I was aghast that he did not deal with. And if you're interested, I could quickly mention the three.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Three issues from Obama's State of the Union, not there.
Right. The first one is the easiest one to describe. Over the last 30 to 40 years, the United States has changed in a fundamental way. It's described by economics as the gap between rich and poor, the distribution of wealth and income, and it has to do with basically the distance between the 5 or 10% at the top and everybody else. And 30, 40 years ago, the United States had one of the smallest gaps of that sort between rich and poor of the industrial developed world. Today, we rank number one. We have become a much more unequal society economically, and that almost always leads to inequality politically and culturally, too. It would have been appropriate for the president, in reporting on the state of our union, to say something about that. Hopefully not only to say that he knows it's happened, but that he has a commitment to stop that from continuing and to reverse it, to go back towards a kind of country that does not foster growing inequality, but is true to its egalitarian roots. That he didn't promise to do that was bad enough. That he didn't say a word about it, I found that very disappointing.
Mm.
The second thing is that we now have a crisis that moves. It's like having an illness that really bothers your legs and then for a while moves to another part of your body. You have to pay attention to that. The economic crisis that we are still in is now most immediately afflicting cities and states across the country. With unemployment, people don't have incomes, they don't pay income tax. With shaky job conditions, people don't spend as much money, and so sales taxes go down.
Home foreclosures. Home foreclosures, yeah.
Yeah, everyone is cutting back, and cities and states are therefore now considering what? Well, to give you an example, in New York City, the governor announced yesterday massive cutbacks on Medicaid. That's the medical support for the poorest people in the country. Huge cuts in schools at all levels. California's governor, new governor did the same, and so on, across the country. This is craziness. In a country already suffering from unemployment, we have cities and states promising now to do what? To lay off more people in the public sector, increasing the unemployment, reducing services when? At a time of economic difficulty when we need more support from the government, not less.
Richard, I have to jump in here really quickly because as we're talking about the state of the economy, it's really critical for our community radio station, KBOO, to open up the phone lines and encourage people to invest your money, invest your money, invest your energy into this radio station because just as Richard Wolff was saying, these issues, they move through the system and affect some of the far-flung features or sections of the community. And KBOO, we need to keep KBOO strong by encouraging people to give us a call to make a contribution to this radio station, 503-232-8818. We're going to go to the Mad Men in the Boiler Room of Information Liberation. You guys, tell people how to get Richard Wolff's book.
Well, it's just really easy. You call 503-232-8818, or if you're out of town, 877-500-5266. That's toll free. And you talk to one of our lovely phone answerers who will help you with all the details that need to be helped with. And then, lo and behold, in several weeks when or less now than when the drive is over, you will receive the book.
There you go, 503-232-8818, or outside the metro area, 877-500-5266. Anywhere else in the populated universe, it's KBOO.FM. Well, we got a bunch of people to thank. First, we want to thank people who have been feeding us. Grendel's Coffee House, 729 East Burnside. Ziba's Pitas, a food cart at Southwest 9th and Alder. and Taqueria Francisco, another food cart at Southwest 3rd and Stark. And now these are the people we want to thank who called in. Susan from Tillamook is renewing. Liz from Battleground is renewing. Sarah from Portland is renewing. James from Portland is renewing. Pat from McMinnville and Eddie from Portland. They're all renewing. Also, let's see, who else we got here? April from Portland, Emily from Portland, Maxine from Portland, Heather from Portland, Joyce from Portland are all renewing members.
William and Carol from Kelso.
And we want to thank Jane from Portland, Margaret from Portland. Let's see, D Spring, Lake Oswego is renewing. Daryl from Oregon City, Deborah and Carl from Tigard are renewing. Also, Theodore from Portland, David from Portland, Maria from Portland, a new member. William and Carol from Kelso, Washington, new members.
All right.
Scott and Diane from Portland are renewing. Thank you, one and all.
I want to encourage more new members.
James from Portland.
All of the people who are out there who have never joined KBOO, who are appreciating the kind of information that you get here, who are spiritually part of what KBOO is about, community. Pick up that phone and start punching those numbers, and those numbers are 503-232-8818 or 877-500-5266.
Correct.
We have 5,300 members. We have 50,000 listeners, so let's get on the ball, listeners.
Anyway, thanks a lot, Bill and Pear, and thanks for all the people who have given us a call to contribute their hard-earned money, invest in this radio station. I'm Lisa Loving. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio, and our guest this morning, Richard Wolff. His book, Capitalism Hits the Fan, The Global Economic Meltdown and What to Do About It. Richard, and by the way, that book is available if you do give us a call for a $60 minimum pledge, and that's only $5 a month. The number is 503-232-8818. Toll free if you are in Kelso or the Salem area. It's 1-877-500-5266. This is a good time to stop by in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. And in a minute, Richard was going to elaborate the last point that Barack Obama should have brought up in his State of the Union address, but didn't. But I just have to say, this book, Capitalism Hits the Fan, when it comes to economics, so many people feel that it's too arcane to understand. But this book and Richard's work, it's a step-by-step book showing how deep economic structures, the relationship of wages to profits, of workers to boards of directors, and debts to income have accounted for that income, that economic crisis that we're all watching play out. And anyway, I do want to get back to Richard Wolff. So we talked about the President Obama, his State of the Union address. There were three things in total that he should have brought up, you're saying. And what was the last item that he didn't bring up that he should have?
Well, the last item is the unemployment. I mean, look, we have 25, 30 million Americans that either don't have a job or are forced to have a part-time job without a full-time one to go with it as a substitute, or they've given up looking altogether. The president ought to have said to those people that he really will make a priority, as this country should, to put those people to work, to give them decent work and decent income. I was kept being reminded of what his predecessor, Franklin Roosevelt, did at a time when we also had awful unemployment, even worse in the 1930s. In 1934, Roosevelt went on the radio and he said to the American people in a famous address, "If the private sector either cannot or will not employ people, then it's up to the federal government to step in and do that." Between 1934 and 1940, Roosevelt created and filled 11 million federal jobs. Given our population growth since then, it would be double that, 22 million now, and that would be the lion's share of our unemployment. Those people had jobs, they had felt good about themselves, they earned money. With that money, they were able to maintain their mortgage payments, so they didn't have the kind of housing meltdown and foreclosure tragedies we have across America today. The president could have and should have said something about that. Instead, he gave us that lame old trickle-down economics that he's going to continue to to do what he's been doing, helping the big corporations at the top, the banks, the financiers, and hoping and promising that the benefits he gives to them, the bailouts of $1.5 trillion, will trickle down in the form of overcoming unemployment. Now, he's been doing that for 2 years. Bush did it before him at the beginnings of this crisis. It never worked. We have the same unemployment now we had 2 years ago, and it's very, very bad. And so to rely on more of the trickle-down that hasn't worked without giving us any reason to believe that it will work, given that it hasn't worked, I found that an extraordinary performance of looking the other way, to be as polite about it as I can.
Richard, I mean, that's the thing that really strikes me the most about what we are seeing in the United States right now and what we're seeing play out across the Middle East as well. I mean, I work at a little tiny newspaper where unemployment stories on our website have generated thousands and thousands and thousands of reader comments and hits. And the stories that people have posted to the website where I work are heartrending. They're heartrending. And when I see the President of the United States stand up and talk about the economy and talk about bailing out the banks and et cetera, when it's so craven, you know? Here's what I want to ask you about. Now, economic crisis in the United States. Where did the money go? Where is the money? The money's locked up somewhere. Somebody didn't just disappear the money. It does exist. Where is it, Richard?
Absolutely. When the government set about to deal with this crisis and made the decision, and that's what it was, just a decision, to pour huge amounts of money into the private banks that had led us into the crisis, into the insurance company, AIG, the biggest insurance company in the world, was taken over with tens of billions of dollars, and so on. The theory was, it's good for the government to bail them all out, particularly the banks, because then, the idea went, the banks will turn around and take all that lovely money that the government is pouring into them and lend it out to individuals, to businesses, and particularly the hope was to businesses who would therefore hire people with the money. It was a lovely story. But it didn't work. What the banks basically did is took all that money and held on to it to improve their balance sheets since they were in deep trouble having made terrible loans. So over the last year and a half, banks have reported quote-unquote recovery. They've poured the money into the stock market in safe investments, they hope, to recoup what they had before. So the stock market has had a partial recovery. But the hoped-for story about hiring millions of people and overcoming the economic distress of the vast majority of Americans, it never happened. The money sits in the tiny top layers, and in the old story, the trickle-down never happened. So the old idea, which I would like to revive now, is that we don't do trickle down. We do trickle up. Give the mass of people jobs and incomes, and then say to the corporation, look, if all those people have jobs and incomes, they'll be buying things, and you as the corporation stand to gain. And then they can wait to see how it works out as the minority, rather than what we've had, which is giving it to a small minority and waiting for it to trickle to everybody else. And the trickle never happened.
This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Our guest, live on the phone from New York City, is Richard Wolff. He's the author of Capitalism Hits the Fan, The Global Economic Meltdown and What to Do About It. And this is Membership Drive. We have so much stuff going on this morning. But, you know, before we go any further, Richard, I guess you just described what to do about it. What we should do about it is trickle up. But is there any political leadership or will to do that?
Well, there, let's go back to where you began and where the Amy Goodman discussion left off. No, the blunt answer to your question is, in the United States today, the kinds of organizations that are fighting this sort of thing in Europe, we don't have that. We have a labor movement that's been declining for 50 years. We no longer have political parties on the left that are strong and have big memberships the way they do in Europe. And so we don't have the organizational way to fight against this, to turn this policy around. But let me say, without meaning to be scary, but nonetheless to be honest, Egypt shows us, as Tunisia does, as Albania does, that you can go on for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, maybe even 30 years, with no apparent opposition, as people grit and bear it, suffer, rankle in private, mumble into their beer or their coffee, but slowly the pressure and the anger and the resentment builds. And that just doesn't happen in other countries. That is building here, as people have a harder and harder time and observe a tiny minority congratulating each other in tuxedos for how well they're doing. This is not a sustainable arrangement. When you put that together with a widening gap between rich and poor that I spoke about a few minutes ago, you're building a powder keg in the United States. And just as the world was surprised to wake up a week ago and discover that the calm and stable Egypt was everything but calm and stable, my suspicion is we are going to look back on the current period, before and after Obama, as a time of calm that we misunderstood because we did not look just an inch below the surface to see an economic system that was beginning to make too much of a contrast between the haves at the top and the have-nots, who are becoming very angry, slowly but steadily.
Mm. Richard, actually, that's kind of where the New Deal came from, right? Back in the 30s, 40s. It was
right. The
deep belief that built up over a period of years that there were so many people out of work, there were so many people suffering, that those people had nothing better to do than hang out in Hoovervilles and talk about how they were going to take over the government, basically. And, I mean, isn't that accurate? Isn't that where that came from, fear in the political leadership?
Yes, and you know, people remember Franklin Roosevelt, but you know, when he was elected, he was a balanced budget kind of guy, might be compared really to Barack Obama. But within 3 or 4 years, by 1933, for example, the unemployment rate in the Depression was 25%, or 2.5 times worse than what we have today. You had a level of suffering, of poverty, of anger that produced three organizations that became real powerful quickly. One was the CIO, Congress of Industrial Organizations, that organized all the basic industries in the United States in a very few years and became an enormous political force. Americans don't remember this, but we also had strong socialist and communist parties in the United States. And together with the unions, you had in those organizations powerful forces that were able to say to Roosevelt, look, Mr. President, either you do something for the mass of people or else your whole economic system is going to crumble. We don't have anyone who threatens the American system right now from within. We don't have anyone who says, look, make some basic changes for the mass of people or else you're jeopardizing the whole society. Nobody said that to Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, and now it's over.
Mm.
He could have made changes along the way that dealt with the people's problems. He thought he didn't have to, so he didn't. And now he has a much higher price to pay.
All right. We are running out of show, Richard. And it's funny that you said that. Because we've asked on this show, Wednesday Morning Talk Radio, we've asked that question in the past. Who is the charismatic left-wing leader in the United States? And it's like John Stewart's the best we could come up with, which is, you know, ironic because John Stewart reminds me of that little cap on the pressure cooker that my mom used to have, right? If you didn't put the little lid on the pressure cooker, it would explode. But as long as it was there, that little thing would dance around. And sometimes I think that even, you know, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, they had their rally for sanity. Didn't a couple of 100,000 people come? And
yes,
there were.
You know, I had my students. I teach at the university here in New York City. And my students in my classroom were much more excited and interested about the Jon Stewart Colbert event than by anything any Republican or Democratic candidate had to say.
Yeah. Anyway, so Richard Wolff, his new book, Capitalism Hits the Fan, The Global Economic Meltdown and What to Do About It. Richard, where can people get in touch with you or read more of your writings or see more of your work?
Kind, it's kind of you to ask. The simplest way to get an access to all of the different kinds of analyses, podcasts, blogs, everything that I do, is at www.rdwolf, spelled W-O-L-2-Fs, .com. rdwolf2fs.com. And there you'll get all the stuff. It's free. It's open 24 hours a day. We put all of our work up there precisely to make it a resource for people that are interested in learning and using that kind of material.
Yeah, and I think I did see a DVD video of you discussing this idea of alternative economic policy, what's really at root of the economic crisis. It's also called Capitalism Hits the Fan, I believe. So, yeah. Richard, thank you so much for being with us today. And I think this is a discussion we're going to be having for a long time to come.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing to you, and my best wishes for the most successful fundraising you've ever done.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And
bye-bye.
Bye. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Really need to take just a couple more minutes to let you know how you can invest your hard-earned money, efforts, and energy into this radio station, as you were just listening to Richard Wolf say. This is, I think that in the Portland area, KBOO is one of the iconic institutions of the left, the deep left. And the number to call to support this station, 503-232-8818 locally. Toll free if you're in Kelso, if you're in anywhere in Cascadia, it's 1-877-500-5266. We have a copy of Richard Wolf's book, Capitalism Hits the Fan, The Global Economic Meltdown and What to Do About It. That's a $60 minimum pledge. That's only $5 a month. We can arrange for you to make just a small contribution every month to make this investment in your community more doable for you. But $5 a month, that's less than a half rack of Pabst Blue Ribbon. You know, and I know, that's not very much money. And if you come in person to 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon, you can see exactly what we do with your money. It's not glass and fern. The carpet, I'm not going to get into the carpet, but I mean, your money is spent directly on services. And I just want to say one more thing before we go to our pals, the Mad Men in the Boiler Room of the Information Liberation Zone over there. When you do, give us a call at 503-232-8818. You make your contribution, perhaps 1 hour's wage a month. Right? You make minimum wage, $8.40 an hour in Oregon. That's the minimum wage. That's about $100 a year. And that's a queenly contribution. You will get in the mail a little card and it's got your name on it. And that card, your KBOO membership card, it entitles you to discounts at businesses all over Cascadia. There's a massage therapist, naturopathic physicians. There's a guy that'll check out your chimney in your house. There's the coffee shop at Fremont and 42nd Street. So we give you a gift when you call, and then you keep on enjoying participation in our community for the whole rest of the year. And I'm Lisa Loving. Thanks for tuning in. This show will be podcast on our website, kboo.fm, by the end of the day. Stay tuned for Political Perspectives.